May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for the meditation this morning comes from the Old Testament and Gospel readings, including these words from the prophet Jeremiah. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. You may be seated. Dear saints, that's quite a statement from Jeremiah, wouldn't you say? Lord, you have deceived me. God, you tricked me. You duped me. God's will and Jeremiah's understanding of the will, his will, there seems to be a disconnect of some kind. The word translated deceived has this idea that Jeremiah was persuaded to do something, something that initially appears good and right and worthwhile, but later on the results of that work are just disastrous, at least from Jeremiah's point of view. And what did God persuade Jeremiah to do? Well, Jeremiah didn't choose to be a prophet. God made him one. God called Jeremiah to proclaim his word to the people. What an awesome responsibility. What a noble calling. What an important task. Such a charge from the Almighty could have caused one to have a pretty high opinion of oneself. God called me. It's as if Jeremiah was God's right-hand man. But this work did not bring the accolades of men. It did not bring riches. It didn't even bring the adoration and thanks of the people for bringing God's word to them. Instead, mockery and hate. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long, writes Jeremiah. The situation in Jesus' day, some six centuries later, was really no different. In our gospel reading, we hear that the Lord is sending the apostles out, sending them out to do what? Proclaim the word of the Lord. Just as Jeremiah had done. And what does Jesus tell them will happen? Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And when they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. Notice Jesus doesn't say if they persecute you, but when. The disciples, too, likely didn't imagine that this is the way things should go. After all, here's the Lord God incarnate in the flesh sending out us out to do his will. Surely that will go well. People should listen to God's word, should they not? But this is the status quo when it comes to proclaiming the word of God. Some will gladly receive and believe. Many will ignore, hate, or even attempt to discredit the word of God. That's just the way it is. Now, we could rightly apply the experience of Jeremiah and the apostles to pastors in our day, those who publicly proclaim the word of God, and that's all well and good. But more broadly, I think, the experience of Jeremiah and the apostles applies to the whole church, which means it applies to you, individually, as a Christian. Consider your own Christian life. You, like Jeremiah, were called by the Lord to be one of his own. As we say in the baptismal rite, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers. You didn't choose to be a believer, God chose you. justification accomplished by Jesus on the cross was delivered to you in your baptism, and that baptism has set you apart from the world. And so being a Christian means that all the other callings that you have, mother, father, son or daughter, sibling, neighbor, grandparent, worker, friend, all of those vocations now have a different flavor than they would if you were not a Christian. You are called to live as a Christian in those vocations, and your Christian way of life will appear quite strange to some people. And that can be awkward. As St. Paul says in our epistle reading, those who have been baptized are no longer slaves to impurity and lawlessness, but slaves to righteousness. You have a new master, Jesus. And as his servant, you are called to live a life that is different from the world. You are called to speak the truth. And as St. Peter writes, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. What an awesome responsibility. What a noble calling. What an important task. And as those things happen within you by the power of God's Holy Spirit, as your life is conformed to that of Christ through the power of the Lord's word, bad things are going to happen. Wait, what? Pastor, you have deceived me. I thought being a Christian would make my life easier, would make me loved by all. I thought other people would be so moved by my Christian life and witness and words that they would all want to know more about Jesus. Some will. And for that we thank and praise God. And for that response we pray constantly. Many will simply not respond in faith, however. When the persecution comes, in whatever form it comes, know that it's not because you don't have enough faith or you haven't said the right prayers. It is simply life under Jesus' cross. But take heart, dear Christians. You are in good company. Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant to be like his master. Jesus is the teacher, and Jesus is the master. You and I are the disciples and the servants. We are not above Jesus, of course, but he says we are like him. He makes us to be like him. Jesus continues, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? What happened to Jeremiah, what happened to the disciples, is what happened to Jesus. And the church of today should expect the same to happen as we are about Christ's work in this world. So what do we do about all this? What does Jeremiah do? Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatever we may suffer in this life on account of our faith, on account of our witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus, on account of the sins we refuse to commit, on account of the name of Jesus which we bear, is nothing compared to the joy that awaits us. That's what Christ promises. We have an eternal inheritance because we have been set free from sin. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is with us as a dread warrior, Jeremiah says. Those who fight against Christ's church are really fighting against Christ himself, and he is God, and no one defeats God. Those who would attempt to foil the plans of God, to fight against the will of God, have already lost. The demons lie defeated. Satan's head has been crushed by the heel of Jesus. he can do nothing to you. Those who follow him can do nothing to you. Some may respond, well, they might mock us. They might persecute us. What if we are shunned by society? What if our friends desert us or worse? No matter. The Lord has delivered the life of the needy, your life, from the hand of evildoers. Even if you or I were to die because of our faith, we know what Jesus has done to death. He walked right out of it. He rose from the dead. He will raise you from the dead. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is, of course, a certain amount of fear, human fear, that comes along with being a Christian. If you've ever had the opportunity or the occasion to answer someone's question or respond to someone's statement by telling them what the Word of God says, you know that anxiety and fear that can come upon you. What will they think of me? What will I say? Will I say the right thing? And maybe you've even failed to say the right thing, and that brings its own kind of anxiety. But Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead of fear, consider that person whom God has placed in your life, and know that they are there for a reason. And testify boldly, because that's what the person needs. Because Jesus loves them too. And fear not what may come of it. As Jesus says at the end of our gospel reading, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You are highly valued by the Lord. So valuable are you that Christ died for you. And if he is willing to go to that extreme for your salvation, you can rest assured that nothing will happen to you, whether good or ill, nothing will happen to you without God's knowledge, care, and protection. For he is the one who turns defeat into victory, death into life, and sinners into saints. And he is the one who has made you his own. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be deceived. There should be no disconnect between what we think the Christian life is like and what reality is. The Christian life is not an easy one. The Christian life is one of acknowledging one's sin and trusting in Christ alone for forgiveness. I suppose it may be easier to be blissfully ignorant about one's own sin, until it isn't. The Christian life is one that's lived out for the good of the neighbor, one that sacrifices for the neighbor as our Lord has sacrificed for us. There should be no disconnect between expectation and reality, because there is a connection between you and your Lord. Your life is lived in his, and his is lived out in yours. You are valuable to him, more precious than many sparrows. Praise God. He has delivered your life from the hand of evildoers, indeed from the evil one himself. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.